Drolene Marks, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
It's been a very long week. Also, I had a whiskey tasting last night, followed by a poker evening, all on Zoom, which is not clever for a 6 a.m. talk show host. It's on a school night. Not a good idea at all.
You know what I'm finding quite fascinating, Howard? And you know, you're an expert in body language. Is dealing with, like, how do you analyze body language on Zoom?
It's terrible. Poor Zanati. All my focus goes to her because we're both in studio. Mm-hmm. Because I have to read somebody's body language. Yeah. So no, it actually is quite difficult. And what I am noticing more and more, certainly on work calls, that whereas a lot of them started off being face-to-face cameras on, more and more of them now aren't. And I think people are just more comfortable not being, because it's not natural. You know, our Zoom camera look is not a natural look as though you were in a meeting or just sitting and chatting to somebody. Even though we're seeing that person, we're not really seeing them in their natural habitat.
It is absolutely fascinating, I have to say. And I don't think there's any Zoom call I've been on that hasn't been photobombed by a cat, including my own.
Yeah, I've had a number of those. But those cats, they just know exactly when your camera's on. I don't know how they even know, but they do. All right. So, Rolene, first of all, bring us up to date as to what's going on with COVID in Israel, because certainly everything had been relaxed. Last week, Wednesday night, I don't even know when it was, restaurants opened again. Everybody gets excited. Now schools are open. Then schools are closed. I look ahead and think, oh gosh, we are in for the same type of chaos when this starts happening here. But what is the current situation?
So our current situation is quite complex. You know, for the most part, businesses, restaurants, clubs, pools, gyms are open. I've been to the gym now for a few times, and let me tell you, I feel a lot more normal, even though my body's crying that I haven't used certain muscle groups in at least 3 months. But it's all happening under very, very strict social distancing and hygiene norms. I mean, to get into a meeting, and I had my first face-to-face meeting the other day, is a balagan. You have to sign an indemnity form. You have to have your temperature tested. You have to wear your mask. And what was particularly disturbing, Zanati, Howard, was that there was no food at the meeting. This is absolutely counter to everything that is part of our Israeli culture and part of just being Jewish, that we couldn't eat during the meeting. However, we have
it's like in your community going to a funeral without food.
No food, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just completely counterintuitive. It goes against every fiber of our being. I mean, not even little bits of lemon, guys, to put in your tea. It was just...
Oh, yeah, so what are they, even the mint? If you want, like in Israel, you have pure mint tea where they actually give you the mint leaf, you know. Wow. I guess
no leaves, no lemon. It was a catastrophe. I
mean, the suffering.
This is what COVID has brought us to. Nonetheless, we have had an escalation in the amount of infections in schools. And what the government has decided to do after much debate is to lock down the schools where there are infections. And we have now over 30 schools that have been locked down, pupils, staff, teachers all sent into quarantine. But for the rest of the country, it's business as usual. Unless, of course, you're the Knesset. The Knesset has also been shut down because a member of the joint list tested positive for COVID-19. So it's back to home working for the Knesset, which is also counterintuitive because who do you get to yell out? Yell at and scream and shout and perform to at home.
Exactly.
This is
why cats
photobomb Zoom meetings.
Yeah.
That is why cats photobomb Zoom meetings. So this is the situation where we are. You know, while we do have the spike in infections, the other two major metrics, which is the numbers of critical and numbers of people requiring ventilators, that has reduced. So at the moment, we have 27 people in critical condition and 23 requiring ventilators. And now over 15,000 people have made full recoveries, but we do have the increase in the amount of people infected. So, you know, this is where we are at the moment. But we've also increased our coronavirus testing.
So, and Israel is very advanced in that, which is incredible. Here we are still seeing quite a lot of backlogs. We've seen in the Western Cape, they've announced that, I think, no one under 55 that isn't showing, that is not symptomatic will be tested so that they can get up to speed with the people that really do need to be tested. Quite scary. Let's just talk boycotts for a moment, because there's been an interesting discussion this week following a couple of artists like Dua Lipa talking and commenting about Israel. Give us the context and some of the discussion here.
This week has been a particularly painful and hurtful week for many people, not just in America, I think around the world. And it has opened up a very, very important and necessary discussion and discourse on racism. It's long overdue. It is something that it's a subject that has needed to be dealt with. I wouldn't just say for years, I would say actually for centuries. But along with this has come the opportunistic hijacking of this cause by many groups wishing to push forward their own racist agenda in whatever sphere it may be. In America, that we have witnessed white supremacists infiltrating the solidarity marches to try and stir up even more racial tension. Also groups like Antifa, which purport to be anti-fascists, they have being caught as the ringleaders in a lot of the looting and the destruction of businesses, including small businesses which are black owned, and many other businesses which provide much needed employment at a time when the world has been absolutely smacked economically by COVID-19. You know, groups like this, anarchistic groups, are pushing their agendas. But also we have seen an increase in the exploitation of groups like BDS and others to try and push their anti-Israel agenda and to try and focus blame. And Dua Lipa happened to regram. I think I've got the lingo right here, guys. You know, I'm so not with it in terms of what the right things to say. I would have said shared it.
She reposted.
Help me, Zanati.
If it's on Instagram, she reposted.
Is it reposting on Instagram? Mm-hmm. All right.
So we're not using regram anymore.
No.
Did we ever?
Somebody please keep me up to date.
Yeah, well, I was just saying a little bit earlier, I thought Instagram was broken the other night because everything was dark. And stop laughing, Zanati.
It was a genuine concern.
I thought Instagram had gone down. I thought finally there's some different news. And then I called my daughter, because her thing was dark. Yeah. And she was just like rolled her eyes.
Howard, clearly you and I are like way past it.
Yeah, I'm hoping we ever had it. But all right. That's something completely different.
But, okay, so she reposted. Mm. Okay, note to self, cross out the word regram. Okay. So she reposted this particularly horrendous post that somebody had posted blaming Israel, using terminology like fake Jews, Holocaust denial. She reposted that to her page, which of course upset a lot of people, including myself, who all took to various social media to call her out on it, because you can't fight racism by propagating another form of prejudice. And there has been a petition doing the rounds in Israel by lots of young people, which I think is quite amazing. I'm very proud of how I see young, the next generation becoming active. They marched for solidarity in Tel Aviv the other night. They're putting out the message that prejudice, racism, discrimination of any kind is unacceptable and won't be tolerated. Well, they put a petition out for Dua Lipa's music to be boycotted. And the radio stations responded by saying, you know, we respect you guys. We understand that you're angry. She hasn't apologized, which I know has hurt people even more. However, we don't believe in boycotting artists. We don't believe that that is productive, which I found fascinating because, you know, we sit in the center of a storm where people like Roger Waters, who, you know what, guys, I haven't heard a peep from him about what happened to George Floyd.
Is he still alive?
He is still alive.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't heard a peep from him condemning it. People like Roger Waters advocate boycotts. They advocate the breaking down of discourse. They, you know, they want to cause separation, even more separation. And I find it fascinating because here we are, extremely hurt, by the antics of Dua Lipa, who really doesn't understand, the situation or the nuances. And yet the response from, our media has been, no, we don't believe in shutting anybody down. Let's have that important discourse. Let's continue to play the music.
It's so interesting that, because, and it takes a certain amount of bravery and courage to be able to say that and to be able to do that. But that is living by your own, but that is by living by your own credo, isn't it? By your own ethos.
Well, I think it is. I think that we have to be very careful, especially now, that we encourage a lot more dialogue, a lot more understanding, a lot more discussion of everybody's narrative so that we can understand each other better. This is the only way we improve and we make things better rather than shutting down or canceling, you know, one group of society because we happen to disagree with them.
And
you might not agree when you have that discourse, but don't just cancel or shut down people.
Well, in fact, and the New York Times have said they're about to do just that, which I thought is fascinating. They had an op-ed, a columnist opinion piece by a U.S. Senator, Republican, who said that the army should be brought in to stop the violent protesters. Half of the New York Times staff at least threatened to walk out because they published it. New York Times then apologized for it and said they're going to be reducing the amount of opinion pieces that they publish. So what happens there is you've just got this incredible reduction of thought, of intellect, of debate, because the minute anybody feels a little bit uncomfortable, then we're not allowed to talk about it. And but of course, it whoever sets the rules is the one in power. In other words, if you don't, if you think it's okay for Iran or a terrorist to write an opinion piece because that fits, then that'll be okay to go. But if it's on the other side of your political agenda or spectrum or narrative, then of course that gets shut down. And this is where it becomes more and more dangerous until we reduce it right down to this tiny narrow band of agreement and safeness. It's too terrible, I think, and dangerous.
Well, you and I've said very often that we have to have the uncomfortable discussions. You know, we see, because we work in the field of Israel advocacy, that when young people ask uncomfortable questions or make statements that people don't like, they're immediately shut down and pushed to one side of the tent. And the only way we get to educate people, to engage with people, is to engage with people. The only way that we get to have understanding and tolerance is to engage with people. You might not agree, but we have to have the uncomfortable discussions.
Absolutely right, Rolien Marks. Unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. We certainly could have this conversation for hours, but it is 8:01. Have a Shabbat Shalom. I hope that it is peaceful, enjoyable, safe, and just wonderful. It is 8:01.